Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promoting for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, babies. Before we start the show, I just wanted to quickly say I'm doing a one-off encore performance of my stand-up show, Chilled Out, Fired Up, in Sydney on the 20th of August. That's the show that I was touring around earlier in the year. I'm doing one more show of it at the Enmore Theatre Comedy Club because I'm recording a comedy album. And I would love you to come because I goddamn love comedy albums. And most important ingredient of a comedy album is the fucking audience, which would be you. You can Google it or it's in the show notes right now. So you can just look at it on your phone that you're holding and use the promo code YEAHBABY to get cheaper tickets for you. So that's YEAHBABY, all one word, cheaper tickets. Love you to come. Bye-bye.
If you want more from us, you can head on over to patreon.com/totalreboot and subscribe to our new spin-off podcast, Total Reboot Riffs, for just $5 a month.
You also get access to a super secret Facebook chat group, which is so fun. I wish we always had it.
It's so fun to hang out with all you guys on Facebook. I want more of you guys in there. So if you want to hang out with us, you have to pay.
So cough up, dirtbags.
That's patreon.com/totalreboot. What's Riffs all about?
Riffs is just us coming up with pitches for new reboots or remakes for existing movies. They're so funny.
And the other thing that we do in Riffs is we do commentary tracks for some of the most exciting films of all time.
Yeah. For example, Reservoir Dogs.
Oh my God.
Imagine us gabbing over the top of that.
Oh God, it'd be so annoying, but it's there if you pay for it.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers.
And we're clear. Hey, babies, bitches, and bozos. Welcome to Mike Check Season 2, the only goddamn podcast in existence.
Full stop, baby.
The only goddamn podcast.
We killed them.
We killed every other podcast.
Welcome to the freaking post-apocalypse, where the only podcast is a dumbass podcast about SNL actors.
It's called the post-apocalypse because after the movie The Post by Steven Spielberg, nothing else was ever created.
Yeah, that was the last thing to be created.
Last piece of art.
And we're out here fucking commenting on art. We're the last, we're like the fucking post-postmodernism right now, baby.
Po-po-mo-mo-fos.
Oh, no.
I know, I'm going to kill myself eventually. But
I pray so, before the zombies get you, baby.
I've got one bullet, so we have to make out, and I'm going to shoot us through the
in
back
the middle
of my head,
yep,
and it'll go through your head.
Wow, I pray that we have a swift death where our brains meet somewhere in the middle.
That is the true definition of nirvana for me. If I can finally merge brains with you, that's the only way I'll be satisfied.
And who are you?
My name's Cameron James, and your name is what?
Alexi Toliopoulos.
That's correct. And the purpose of this podcast was formally to go through every single film and skerrick of information about Mike Myers, but now we've expanded that to the world of Saturday Night Live.
And its notable alumni.
And we've been having a lot of fun with this.
We have been having a lot of fun with this. I'm telling the truth.
I swear to God.
I swear to gosh.
I swear to fucking God we've been having fun.
I swear to gosh. And may gosh come down from mighty heaven. And strike me down if I'm lying.
Can I say something? I swear to blog. And honest to blog, I've been having a great time here.
And what are we talking about today, Cameron?
Well, we've had a little week or two off here, unfortunately, because we've been busy as fuck.
We've been busy little beavers.
We've been making something.
We've been having a lot of fun, and I swear to gosh, it was the time of our life.
Honest to blog, we have been making a project.
We have been making a project. We can't say what it is, but you'll be seeing it soon. It is a non-audio project that we have worked on.
A project for the visual medium that will be available for consumption by the public on television and the internet.
And be careful, because in this post-apocalyptic world that we live in nowadays, it is easy to actually not just have stuff for consumption, you actually get consumption very easily.
Yeah, and you get consumed by zombs.
Zombos!
Adriana Zombos! Is Adriana Zombie funny?
I think it's one of the funniest things I've ever heard. It's honestly one of the things I've heard in my life. For the uninitiated, if you're not from Australia, Adriana Zombo is a very famous celebrity dessert pastry chef in Australia.
He
makes the world's best macaroons.
He does. He's famous for his macarons. And also, he...
By the way, this sounds insane. But this is all true.
Adriana Zombo. We're making something up.
Adriana Zombo, he had a TV show called Zombo's Just Desserts.
Yeah.
And it was one of the biggest flops in Australian history.
He also introduced Australia to the cronut.
The cronut he brought it in.
Cronut, which famously was spawned in Brooklyn.
Yeah, spawned
in Brooklyn. In the back streets of Brooklyn.
The back alley cronut.
There was a lot of back alley cronuts and famous little bakehouses.
Yeah, cronut began its life in the back alley of Brooklyn, where it was just a donut with a gunshot hole through it.
And then Adriano Zombie said, you know what? I'm bringing it down under style. And I lined up. Did you line up for
a cronut? No way.
I lined up for one.
No way, dude.
I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And then you get it and you're like, it's just a fucking croissant that's round. It's the worst.
It sucks.
What a big waste of time.
Well, the only thing that I would line up for is a movie.
Yeah.
And one of the movies today that we are talking about, we are kind of doing a little slight close on a chapter that we've been discussing here on the podcast.
It's a soft closing. We're going to thumb it in for this last one.
We are talking about Chevy Chase's films, some of his notable films as an SNL alumni. And this one is particularly fascinating, I would say, for us Chevy Chasers on the podcast. We're talking about The Three Amigos.
The Three Amigos, and I reckon the reason that this is most fascinating is because this is maybe the truest sense of an SNL movie.
Without being an official movie based on SNL characters.
And I believe that I'm saying that because Dr. Evil himself, Monsieur Lorne Michaels.
The guy, you know Lorne Michaels, his favorite place to sit? In front of a house. He's a lawn.
Yeah, I get it. he's a co-writer on this movie.
Yeah, and who co-wrote this movie? It's three people that you would not expect to fucking write a movie at all.
I guess, yeah. Well, I mean, one of them you'd expect to write a movie. That's Steve Martin.
Steve Martin. The guy has writing chops. He wrote fucking Shop Girl.
The guy writes prose.
Yeah, he writes fucking prose.
He writes New Yorker articles. He writes pieces for the banjo.
Yeah, exactly.
Musical pieces.
He's a creative genius. We get it.
He's a Renaissance man.
Yes. And who is the other Renaissance man to have written on this film?
Apart from Lorne Michaels,
yep.
We have comedy superstar Randy Newman, the writer of Short People.
Short People. Short people got no reason to live. Short people.
It's crazy.
You got a short people in me. You got Monsters, Inc. with me.
That's crazy. For those of you who are familiar with that amazing impression that Alexi's doing, Randy Newman is a musician who you probably know best from the fucking Toy Story soundtrack. Mm-hmm. Did all the Toy Story songs. Most famously, You Got a Friend in Me.
Yep.
And he's great. His songs are great. They're funny.
He's so good. He's so funny. I love his parenthood theme song as well.
What's that one?
Can't remember what it is, but I know he did.
When you're a parent, it feels weird. Steve Martin got some kids. Oh, Keanu Reeves is in this movie.
It's so good. Good shit.
He has some funny shit. He's got a you know, a funny song called I Love LA, which is a great satire of LA culture in the '80s.
Skewered LA culture.
Skewered LA.
Oh my gosh.
But I never would have thought in a million years that this motherfucker can write a goddamn narrative movie.
I know, and it was 1 million years ago. Of course, we are living in the future.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, this movie's... I had never seen this movie before. Shall we just dive straight in?
Let's dive straight in to The Three Amigos, directed by John Landis, a man we've talked about quite a bit on this
program. Quite a bit, yes. He has defined comedy in this decade.
That's right! The Three Amigos. They were the biggest stars of their day.
The Three Amigos are history.
But that was yesterday.
They're down on their luck and up to their necks in senoritas, margaritas, bandidos, and bullets. Three unemployed actors accept an invitation to a Mexican village to replay their bandit fighter roles, unaware that it is the real thing.
This is a trope we've seen before.
Yes. If you've seen A Bug's Life, if you've seen
Galaxy
Quest. And I
have seen A Bug's Life, by the way. I've seen it.
Yeah. Hey, dude.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Bugs laugh. Oh, Bugs laugh.
Oh, one of them's an ant, and we got a ladybug. This one's a stick, and there's a fat beetle. It's a Bugs Life. Don't see ants.
Well, actually, I think you should see ants. It's one of the best movies I've ever made.
Oh, Mr. Allen. You, might I just say, you are my favorite author.
Oh, thank you so much. I need to go.
Whoa.
So we're talking about The Three Amigos today. Cameron, you had seen this before and you have a lot of love for it.
Grew up with this movie. Mm-hmm. I love it. I've seen it a lot of times. When it comes to Chevy Chase, this is the Chevy Chase that I was most familiar with.
Yes.
The previous two films we talked about, Caddyshack and Fletch.
Fletchos.
We saw Chevy as the kind of cool, slightly above, cocky fool. But the Chevy that I knew was the one from this movie and the Vacation movies where he's just not playing a cocky fool at all. He's playing a bumbling idiot.
Yes.
Or like a lovable fool.
Yes.
And that's what I knew him as. So it was kind of a shock for me to see how fucking cool and hot he was in those early movies.
This is a movie that I had not grown up with at all. And when I'm watching it, I could see your DNA in this movie.
Really?
I could see a bit of Cameron James had grown from this. And believe me, I am familiar with your DNA.
Yeah, you've cleaned it off walls and ceilings.
I scrape it. I'm a scraper. But I can see, I think this is a difference between you and I, is that when I was watching this movie, I could see kind of where you, your comedic sensibility had formed from, whereas I think mine had formed from the other other people we talk about this podcast, a bit more John Belushi, fatter guys. But I could see because I think this, I could see because this is musical, this is like a genre parody, this is a satire, and you are the king of satire these days.
I certainly am. I love to skewer pop culture.
I like to skewer lamb, chicken, and beef.
That's the difference between us.
Exactly.
I'm all about cultural, like putting cultural things on the barbecue. You're more like chucking a rack of ribs down there.
Your culture, I'm cold, charred.
Okay, that's interesting. I guess when I watched it again this time, I realized that I knew every line of dialogue in it, every beat, every comedic beat. I hadn't realized just how much this is like deep inside me.
It clocked on.
Yeah. I know it so well. I know the dialogue. I know every pause.
Yeah.
And I also forgot how good it is as just a genre movie.
That's where I locked into it. And because I'd never seen this movie before. I heard of it. I kind of knew a little bit like what it was. I knew that it was about actors going on like a fucking mission or whatever.
Which, like, you know, it was a Bug's Life style.
Bug lifestyle, Galaxy Quest style. I knew it was like a Galaxy Quest.
Tropic Thunder style.
Tropic Thunder style movie. Samurai movie. Stuff like that.
Is that what Seven Samurai is about?
I don't know. I've never seen it. But I know Bug's Life is based on it, so I guess so.
So, In Seven Samurai, they're all actors.
Yeah, they're all famous actors.
Who are pretending to be samurai.
I don't know if that's what it is, but I know that it is the basis for Bug's Life, so I presume it is not about that, but maybe similar shit.
I guess we should have been doing all of these on Total Reboot.
They protect a small town. That's all I know.
Yep, sure. But and the smallest town of all is the one in A Bug's Life. I mean, it's microscopic.
But I got to tell you, I absolutely adored this movie.
Oh, so glad to hear that.
Within like the first 2 minutes, I was like, this movie is fucking masterpiece.
Yeah.
Or rules. Near masterpiece at least. Because I'm very familiar with a lot of stuff that this movie is talking about.
Mm.
I love film.
You love film.
I love film.
You love, westerns.
Westerns. I love silent movies.
Mm-hmm.
And this was such a wonderful satire and parody and example of not an entry into those genres, but an example of understanding those genres and why people love those genres.
Mm.
And the moment I fell in love with this movie is it starts quite straight. The movie starts quite straight where we are seeing like, obviously we see the three amigos first singing and dancing. Yep. Then we get into the real movie from there where we see like a small town that is being kind of have bandits.
Yeah.
Bandits are
bullied
kind of
by banditos.
Bullied by banditos. And then we see a woman and her child find kind of like escape in a local church or something, a community community center town hall where there's a projectionist playing a silent film that is the Three Amigos. And when we saw, when we go and see that silent film, I melted. I was like, this is beautiful. It is so well done. Such a perfect creation, recreation of it. And then seeing those three, Steve Martin, Martin Short and Chevy Chase as the Three Amigos in a silent film world. I bought it. I bought it. I sold it again. Yeah. And then I bought it back. I just thought it was perfect.
Well, they could all be silent film stars. Like their faces are perfect for silent film.
And all
they're very
different.
Physical performances. They're very different.
And especially,
but they have shared DNA. Something you know quite a bit about.
I adore DNA. I'm working on a project at the moment that has a lot of DNA.
It's a Jurassic Park movie.
Yeah. I'm trying to get
Jurassic World War.
I've taken some of Cameron's DNA. I chucked it in a mosquito, got a mosquito to slurp it up, and now I'm trying to throw it at a frog to see what happens.
And some crazy shit's gonna happen. You're gonna get the Indo Cameron.
I'm trying to get the Indie Cameron. It's like Cameron fucking cooler.
Yeah, cooler, way cooler.
But Martin Short especially, the guy could have been fucking Buster Keaton.
Yeah,
The other two are very good in that little short film, but I think Martin Short brings it to a whole nother fucking level. Just his face alone spoke volumes of like Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin. You know, people that could just bring emotion with their face without even like just nuance without even having to try. And I just bought it.
This is his first film, I think.
Are you serious?
Marty, yeah. First movie. And he's a fucking star in it. He's so good.
Oh my God. He's out of control.
You read who they originally wanted for this, right? Uh-huh.
A little guy called Rick Moron. Rick Moranis, right?
Rick Moranis was an option. It was originally written like 6 years before it got made. Yeah. It was originally written for Steve Martin, Dan Aykroyd, and John Belushi to play the Amigos.
And John Belushi would have presumably been Martin Short, I would guess.
I guess so, yeah. The kind of sweet buffoon, I guess.
Yeah, actually, I don't even know if that's... Maybe he could be more Chevy because maybe Dan Aykroyd could be gentler. I don't know. No, I don't know.
No, I feel like Aykroyd would have played the Chevy.
Yeah.
Then another option was Steve Martin, Bill Murray, and Robin Williams.
That could work too, but I think we have the best outcome.
This is the total outcome. The only other person that I could have seen is potentially Rick Moranis, but I just love Rick Moranis.
Same. I adore the guy. He's one of the best ever.
He's one of the best.
But I think Martin Short, this is such a beautiful star-making role for Martin Short, who of course is a fellow SNL alumni. I think
he wasn't until later. He's SCTV before that.
Yeah, and I think that this film is interesting because it brings together a lot of people that are very important to Saturday Night Live, especially these three leads. Steve Martin obviously wasn't an SNL alumni, but he is important to the history of SNL and important to the legend.
He's part of its DNA.
He's part of its freaking DNA. Okay? He's part of
it. And DNA stands for do not ask.
Yeah. You don't want to know what happens behind those closed doors of SNL.
Oh, Studio 8H?
Yeah, a lot of cokie.
A lot of... Oh, yeah, that feels good.
A lot of... Oh, yeah. I got a fucking good idea for a sketch about Ant-Man.
A lot of land shark. Let's do it.
What about we put a cone on a guy's head?
Dude, speaking of cones, mind if I pack this fucking bong?
Yeah, brother.
Oh, I'm so fucking high. I just came up for an idea for a show. It's called Saturday Night Live.
Holy shit, dude. You are the freaking craziest cunny that ever lived in this writer's room.
Yeah, they're all very important to the show.
Yeah.
Big time. Steve Martin was one of the most recurring hosts.
He still is. He's still like number one or two.
He's probably in the 50-timers club.
Probably. He's probably hosted the show fucking every week. Who knows? Never. I've barely watched an episode.
And obviously, Chevy was the first breakout star who mm-hmm. then left. And then Martin Short would become a cast member
yep.
later on. And I feel like for something that has so much SNL in the movie, it is a very slick... It doesn't feel like one of those SNL movies that just got tossed off a lot in the fucking 90s and shit. Like, it's not cheap at all. It's very slick. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. It looks great. It's like a classic comedy. It feels like a classic comedy.
It feels like it could be made any time, you know? Like, it understands the era that it is. It understands the genre that it is. Mm. And that's because we've got John Landis at the helm. John Landis is, as we've spoken about, controversial figure because of stuff that he's done, his reckless nature as a director, which is unforgivable, basically. But he has also made some of the best movies of all time that are all... And all his great films have a deep understanding of genre present.
Yep.
We're talking about this. We're talking about... American Werewolf in London. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Blues Brothers. You know, it's movies like that that have a deep understanding of their generic heritage, and he finds a way to either bring lightness to that or bring a comedic touch to that. And I think that's what makes this movie so fucking special.
What are some of your favorite moments from this movie?
I'll tell you one, which was one that kind of blew my mind. Mm-hmm. It's once again, very early on in the film, there is a scene where we find the Three Amigos being fired by Flugelman, who is there, who is like
one
the
of your favorite
head.
Actors.
Joe Mantegna.
Joe Mantegna.
I adore Joe Mantegna.
You modeled your whole life on the guy.
Not my whole life, but probably 80% of my life is based on Joe Mantegna.
80% Mantegna, 20% Belushi.
And then a little sliver of Chris Penn, a sliver. But I think Joe Mantegna is just one of those actors that I had a lot growing up, like when I was getting into theater and shit.
Baby's Day Out,
of course.
Simpsons.
Godfather Part 3.
Yeah.
But you know, when I was a teenager, I was very into David Mamet, and so he's like one of the most Mamet-ian actors that there ever were.
Sure.
But that scene... Not Joe Mantegna's in it, whatever. He's funny in it. He's a great actor.
Mm.
It also has Phil Hartman, John Lovitz, Martin Short, fucking Steve Martin, and Chevy Chase in it.
It's insane.
That's five of the funniest cunts that have ever lived on this earth in one scene. You know, that is what blew my dick off
it's
into
out
the
of control.
Dirt and then got all muddied up.
Well, and when I watched this again, I forgot that Hartman and Lovitz are in this. And I was also a little bit shocked at how little they're in this.
Yeah.
Because they are the two of all the SNL alum.
Yeah.
These two feel like they belong in that world more than anyone. They're
more
like
than
old
anyone.
Hollywood. Like when you watch Hartman's audition for SNL, him and Lovitz do characters together that are old Hollywood
they're
film
just
noir.
Noir
like
characters. Yeah. They're characters that exist in this Hollywood mode.
Yeah.
It's just like you. I wish that they had more
Lovitz
in this
film. Lovitz
talks
like he directs movies from that era. He's like, hello, it's me, John Lovitz.
It's just like it doesn't feel like a waste because it's awesome to have them there.
I know, but I wish they were in it more a little
But they
bit,
would have been like, you know, new SNL stars around then, 86, right?
You're probably right, yeah.
They would
probably,
have been.
They wouldn't have been stars yet.
They
it's
just
like a
SNL
fun
guy.
Cameos.
Yeah, it'll be
like when you see Kate McKinnon and shit a couple of years
ago. It's like if you see Pete Davidson in Ghostbusters 2016 Answer the Call. He's not in that movie, but it would be like
if he was,
that.
It would be so good. And by the way, huge shout out to Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande.
Congratulations, guys. Congratulations, honestly, this is one of the most exciting new chapters of SNL history that you guys are hooking up and getting married.
I can't wait for you guys to get married. I can't wait to see all the photos and all the glossies that I read.
We're just so damn excited for you guys.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You guys deserve happiness, and I'm glad you found it with each other. We love you.
And you guys have an open invitation to come on the podcast.
Anytime.
Anytime you want.
Anytime. Pete, we don't even have to talk about SNL. We can just talk about whatever the
fuck. We can just shoot the shit, man.
Yeah, and Ariana, you know, just like whatever. Let's
you
just
could come release a single on our podcast.
Like, we could release exclusive single on Mic Check.
Yeah,
like
we'd allow it.
Man, no, I do kind of wish that we got more of them, though. They're so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is a little tangent.
I'll allow it.
Thanks, dude. I was just watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld, one of the most hilarious brains to have ever worked in the field of comedy.
He is a craftsman of comedy, this guy. He likes to break down the gears and go, let's figure out what makes this joke tick.
Yep.
And if it don't tick, I'm chucking it on the junk pile.
Yes.
And Kramer can use it.
Kenny Kramer, the guy that Kramer's based on.
And I can't remember what it... Oh, it was a Dana Carvey episode.
Yeah.
And Dana...
Notable SNL alumni.
Notable SNL alumni.
Dana Carvey.
Dana was talking about how him and John Lovitz have been touring around America doing this, like, split bill stand-up show.
Oh, my God.
Which you'd love to go see.
Oh, my God. And, I'd give my freaking left nuts to go see it.
I would honestly lop off... my left gonad.
And hand it to one of them for a freaking ticket to of admission, okay?
GA, I don't care where I sit.
I'll sit at the freaking back. I gotta fucking nurse my right nard back to health as doing all the work.
I gotta ice my right nard, okay? Because it's in a lot of agony right now.
It's gonna produce comfort two nards right now, okay?
It's producing comfort two. And Dana said, I'm doing this tour with John Lovitz and Seinfeld says something like, now, John Lovitz, does that guy have a freaking act yet? Because,
oh my God.
Because every time I've seen him do stand up, the guy has no act.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Which is so funny to hear Seinfeld bitch about John Lovitz, but also John Lovitz doesn't need an act. He's
no
John Lovitz.
Way. He's the funniest guy in the world.
He can
the guy,
say anything.
He, does, he could just tell a story that would be like, doesn't have anything in it. The guy could just do quotes from fucking Rat Race. And I'm like, yes, my nut has been used well for this show. I'm happy.
I don't think I'd ever want to see John Lovitz do stand up, but I would definitely go to like an evening with John Lovitz where he just told showbiz stories.
And someone's just playing the piano or something, you know?
Yeah. Fucking Paul Schaefer is playing the piano.
Paul, oh, God. I'd give both my nuts and half my dick to see that show.
To see Schaefer and Lovitz?
Just to see Schaefer and Lovitz yuck it up.
Yeah, I'd love to see that shit. I'd love it.
How much of your dick are you going to give up for it?
Probably half, which is, you know, like equal to a full dick of yours.
Yeah, probably freaking 6 inches, dude. Whatever, dude.
Hey, you know who else was supposed to be in this movie?
Elvis?
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, but unfortunately he did pass away.
Yeah, unfortunately he died doing what he loved, eating on the toilet.
He called himself the pipe. It was just in and out, you know? Just straight through.
Elvis was one of the men that was truly a cronut.
The first cronut, Elvis Presley. Yeah. Okay. Fran Drescher was supposed to
be in
this movie.
God, she's one of the best
ever. She actually filmed scenes for it.
Oh, gosh.
All of which were cut.
Who was she meant to play?
She was playing an up-and-coming rival actress at the studio called Miss Renee. She actually has a cameo in this movie when they are breaking back into the studio to steal their Amigos costumes. Yeah. There's a big billboard for a Miss Renee movie behind them with a big painted visage of Miss Drescher's face.
Oh.
And can I just say, it's a glorious face.
Oh, she's one of my favorite people ever in
she's
the history
so
of TV and comedy and film. I just love her.
She's great. She's so good. I kind of wish she was in this movie.
Yeah.
It's sad that she wasn't.
Well, maybe we've got to buy that Blu-ray to see those fucking special features.
Apparently, most, according to my research on http://en.wikipedia.org/wiki/3_amigos.
Yep. .com.
Most
or...
of those. Yeah, yeah .com. Yeah. Most of those scenes have been lost to time.
Shit, dude. Time fucking sucks.
A couple of them are still there, including a deleted scene featuring Sam Kinison.
Oh my God.
As a mountain man.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
I'm a mountain man and I love mountain women. That's what I'd say if I was cast.
That's good shit. If they should remake this and refilm all the Sam Kinison scenes with you.
Oh man, Kinison was one of the greats, dude.
Oh, the guy was piss funny.
The guy knew how to scream and knew how to dream.
Oh,
my
gosh.
Favorite. Okay, I've got a couple of favorite moments I want to bring to your attention.
Yes.
I love, obviously, I love the My Little Buttercup sequence. Yep. I think that's
My Little Buttercup. Very funny.
I think that is like almost peak comedy for me.
Describe the sequence to people maybe if they haven't seen the movie recently.
If you all ain't seen Three Amigos,
you fucking weird like me.
As we've explained, this is a case of mistaken identity where the amigos enter a real scary situation that they believe is fake because they are actors.
Yeah.
On the other hand, everyone in the town thinks that they are real...
real German gun
heroes. Yeah. So when they enter this bar, everyone is terrified.
Because they also, the people in the bar have been told that the people, these German outlaws are coming in, extremely skilled.
And they're very violent and skilled and stuff. So when they enter the bar, everyone is shit scared. They're terrified that these three psychos have just entered the bar. And the boys, boys being boys, they think that everyone is just nervous because they're famous actors. And so they decide to lighten the mood by singing a song for everyone. They sing a song called My Little Buttercup, which I just learned is an original number for this movie, which is crazy to me because I think I've heard this song my entire life. Yeah. I just assumed it was a standard.
Like some sort of lullaby or some sort of like Little Rascals song or something.
Yeah, like I thought it'd been around forever. Like it's Ring Around a Rosie style shit. But it's Randy Newman wrote it for this movie. And it's just the campest.
It's like a song that not a guy who's not 45 should be singing. It's like a song that like a little like Shirley Temple should be singing.
Or it.
Betty Boop.
But instead, you've got Martin Short and Steve Martin singing this really camp little girl song while Chevy plays the piano. And there's a lot of sing-along elements. They keep getting all these terrified bandits to sing along with it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Very good. I love that. I also love there's a scene where they've defeated the bandits for the first time. And the town throw a party for them. There's multiple scenes throughout this where you just get to see the three
like every
leads.
Movie. There's multiple scenes in it.
There's so many scenes and camera setups and just like
and
lighting.
Just cool shit. You know, like you get to hear like the film going through the camera.
Yeah, I love that sort of shit. There's all these opportunities in that moment where you get to see the three leads being their personas.
Yes.
You know? So you see like Steve Martin being kind of like the cocky, pantomimey fool to try and impress girls. You see Chevy Chase playing flamenco guitar and singing nonsense Spanish, which is hilarious. And you see one of my favorite bits, which I don't think ever got a laugh from me as a kid, but this time around fucking busted me up, which is Martin Short sitting with a group of children who clearly don't speak English and he's telling some showbiz story to them. Or he's just going like, oh, so I remember the first time that I met Dorothy Gish on the set and he sells some like bullshit boring story about showbiz where he keeps name checking Dorothy Gish and the kids aren't reacting, but he's telling it as if they are all reacting.
Oh my God.
And I think that sums up Martin Short's persona, that he's this showbiz ham.
Yeah, the showbiz ham. I think it's... I would love to break down these personas because I think you're right on Martin Short. He's a showbiz ham with a bit of a Boy Scout nature to him.
Totally.
The guy could have been fucking Captain America.
Pre-serum.
Pre-serum. And then we pop Martin Short full of steroids and then get it to do post-serum.
Yeah, totally.
Like, but he's got that Boy Scout nature to him that I really, really like. Martin Short always plays like a... He can always play a good guy. He's a very sweetie. Unless he's playing Jeremy Glick.
Who is vicious.
He's vicious. He's a nasty little bee.
Is Jeremy Glick one of your idols?
Yeah, he's one of my fat idols.
He's one of my
fat comedy idols.
Isn't he like the funniest?
I think he's so good.
No one ever really talks about Glick anymore, but it's like the funniest character.
Yeah, when I first saw Glick, I had no idea that it wasn't a real person. Because I just didn't get that it was funny. I just thought, this is just some crappy showbiz reporter whose voice is weird.
Did you watch the Steve Martin Munch?
I did, and I adored it. And he came out as
Glick. He did Glick a little bit there. It was really funny.
Is it Jiminy Glick?
Jiminy Glick,
yeah. Jiminy Glick, not Jeremy Glick.
Jiminy.
But then Steve Martin and Chevy Chase, I think on paper, their comedic persona is very,
very similar. They're like very confident idiots.
Mm.
But there's a difference. I mean, Chevy's one was more like slightly above it all, quite grounded.
Yeah.
Whereas Steve Martin, I think, is as if he's the pantomime villain. Yeah. Like, he's always blustering and puffing his chest out and doing these, like, eyebrow raises and shit. I love Steve Martin.
Like, they're also... They're two idiots, but they also play smart idiots. Mm. Like, there's something about them that's, like, not... They're not dumb. They're just idiots.
Yeah.
And I think that... Steve Martin does it with a giddiness that I think Chevy Chase doesn't do. Chevy Chase does it with a kind of...
A sexiness
or a solemnness.
Mm.
But it's weird because they are all physical performers as well. Like, they all can do the slapstick thing.
Man, there's so much great slapstick in this. You know, I think the big difference between Chevy's persona in Fletch and in this is in this one, he is dumb.
Yeah.
That's the only difference.
Yeah.
He's not and he's a bit more lovable. Yeah. You know, in Fletch, he's like the smartest guy in the room.
There's a smarminess to him that is missing as well in this movie.
He's just like so dumb that he doesn't know that he's handsome.
Yeah, exactly.
There's one scene that is very Chevy, which is when he's playing the flamenco guitar and this woman's flirting with him.
Yeah.
And she says something like, do you want to go for a walk and you can kiss me on the veranda?
Yeah.
And he says, the lips would be fine. Which is like the most Chevy thing in this
beautiful
movie.
Chevy line.
How great. I don't know if he improvised that or if that's written in the script, but that's...
That's probably something that he said in the radio and he was like, I got to write this down.
I'm going to write down the line for Chevy to sit. And guess what? I'm fucking Randy Newman.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Gish. Dorothy Gish.
Dorothy Gish. I gotta look up if Dorothy Gish is real.
Yeah, actually, I've never actually done that. I wonder if that is a real person.
Oh, she's real. Dorothy Gish was an American actress.
Really?
Yeah.
Gish. It just sounds from like
the 20, from the 10s and 20s.
Dorothy Gish. She was hot.
Dorothy Gish, that's so funny.
I'm looking at her now. She was born in 1898. She died in 1968. The swinging 60s.
Oh, gosh.
So she caught some of that.
She caught a little bit of Austin before she left. She left this mortal coil. By the way, yes, the Earth is a coil.
It is, yeah. We are coil earthers here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there anything else we need to discuss?
I'm trying to think. Is there anything else? The burning bush, that's funny. That's Randy.
There's
is that
so
Randy
much,
Newman?
Yeah, it has to be. There's so much funny shit in this movie. Like, every scene is a set piece in a way. Oh, I love the... It's fucking classic rule of threes.
Mm.
I love when they're about to swing on ropes into the...
You love it when anyone swings on ropes, by the way.
Yeah, my favorite rope swinger, probably Shia LaBeouf. When they're about to swing on ropes into the final kind of battle and each one of their swings goes wrong in a different way. Love it. I don't care if it's hack, rule of threes. I love it.
Martin
Short gets stuck.
Martin Short gets stuck in a pinata.
In a pinata.
Chevy Chase flies into a closet and Steve Martin
just hits the ground straight away.
It made me laugh so hard.
It's great. It's so good. There's so many good little quick bits. The bandits are great.
The bandits are funny by themselves. Like, I love that bit where they get given the gun by the German
dude.
And he tries to aim it at his friend and just kills him. Like, that's such an old school gag.
Yeah.
But it's so funny.
So
just
much
the way
of it
done.
Is old school. One of the most Chevy, seeing as this is a Chevy podcast, probably one of the most Chevy bits is when he's disguised as a bandit and El Guapo is walking among them, among his men, recounting all the different battles that he's been through with each of them. And he gets to Chevy and doesn't know who he is, obviously. And Chevy just keeps feeding him lines to say.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Oh. Just Chevy, like, as a dumb man out of his depth.
And that was fun to see Chevy be so dumb as well. Like, that scene towards the end of the movie where they've got the bandits covered and Chevy is covering them. And everyone has to put their guns out. Chevy puts his gun down. Made me laugh. And then one of the bandits picks it up and gives it back to him.
There's so much great shit. When Martin Short finally falls out of the sky when he's been trapped in that piñata, El Guapo says right before it, a gringo's falling from the sky. And then Martin Short falls down and El Guapo's henchman says, "Yes, El Guapo." I love it.
It's so good.
It's like a movie from another era.
Yeah.
It feels like the things it's parodying, which is great. It was like earlier than 30s.
Yeah, it's like 30s movies, but it also feels like, you know, if you're a fan of Mel Brooks, I think this is not too far out of line with that. But it is not a direct parody the way things like Mel Brooks films are.
No.
This is more just a pastiche or a satire rather than Mel Brooks or a scary movie, if you will. It's a parody.
Oh,
a direct
I love
parody.
Scary movies.
What's your favorite scary movie?
Probably Scary Movie.
Mine's Scary Movie too.
Oh, I Take My Strong Hand. That line has lived on.
Yeah, that makes me laugh still. Oh, man, that movie made me laugh so much.
Oh, you busted a nut over Scary Movie
too. God, I honestly did. Not unlike the scene where the clown gets fucked under the bed.
Yeah, so
good. Poltergeist style.
Love that shit. It's crazy there was never any sequels to this.
Yeah, but also I'm glad.
Yeah.
Because we see this often where there'll be like a classic comedy and then there will be a sequel to it that just kind of takes away a little bit of its legacy. Like, I think
there's Caddyshack 2, for
Caddyshack
example,
2,
which I've never seen.
Never seen it. And then
Fletch Lives.
Yeah, we've never seen that either. But, you know, stuff like, I would even say, sadly, Austin Powers might be a bit of, suffers from that, I think.
Yeah.
Like, if there was just one Austin Powers movie and just lived out there
alone,
it would be an all-time comedy classic.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we have those sequels because I love them. I think they're so funny and they're so good. But I think if they didn't exist, it would have a greater legacy, kind of like something like this, where it lives as a cinematic classic rather than like a comedy series. And I think now we've seen the same kind of thing happen with Zoolander, with Zoolander 2 and Anchorman 2.
Yeah, which, by the way, I just watched for the first time.
Anchorman 2?
Yeah. I loved it. I don't care what anyone says. It's awesome. Same.
It's fucking
funny. I laughed my fucking ass off the whole way through it.
Exactly. And I thought Zoolander 2 was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
You know?
But nothing will ever live up to like a cult classic first film.
Exactly.
And maybe if they ever made a sequel to this, it would have sucked and we would have looked back on this one a little badly.
Yeah.
I'm glad you got to finally discover this film. Are you satisfied?
Really
satisfied.
Did it
live up to what you thought it was going to be? Did it surpass anything?
It surpassed it for sure.
Wow.
Surpassed it for sure, because I kind of just thought it was going to be just three amigos in the desert dancing and singing. Like, I thought that's kind of what it was going to be. And a little bit boring maybe, or dated. I didn't think it was dated. I think it was just like a perfect encapsulation of something. And I thought that it was so funny. You're seeing some of the funniest guys I've ever walked this earth.
Three of the funniest cunnies.
The absolute funniest cunnies. The original cunny crew. These guys are so funny. And just like, it just struck me, this movie. Really, really struck me. And it made me think that would I have appreciated it back as a kid when I saw it? Would I have learned to appreciate it as much as I do now? Or would I have just thought it was a very funny, nice movie? So I'm glad that I got to see it now.
I also think it's Chevy that I wish we saw more of.
Mm.
You know, I know we saw a fair bit of like the kind of lovable fool in Clark Griswold, but, you know, it kind of sucks that in his later days, he kind of reverted to being the crank.
I think this is similar to what he was doing on Community, but the Community character has a lot more evil, nasty crankiness to
it. Yeah, yeah. I kind of like him just being a fucking dumbass.
Yeah.
I just love dumbasses.
Dumbasses are some of the funniest people that have ever walked this earth.
Especially in real life.
Mm-hmm.
R.R.L. Dumbasses.
R.L. Stein.
Like I rules.
Dumbass. He's a dumbass.
He's a dumbass, dude.
Cameron, this was so fun to talk about this movie. What do you think we're going to be talking about next on this podcast?
Well, you know what? I'm looking through the list of films that are SNL adjacent or related. And coming up next, I think we are going to be diving into one of the most youngest and successful...
To this day, the youngest.
To this day. SNL alums.
Yep.
Mr. Edward Murphy.
Oh, God, Eddie.
Eddie goddamn Murphy.
And what film do you reckon we'll start with there? Let's go back to the start with him. We've already talked about Eddie Murphy on this podcast with his SNL Best Of DVD, mm-hmm. which is just a fucking joy to watch. It's one of the higher
it's
end ones.
It's a ride, dude.
Oh, God. I would love it if it was a ride. Put this in a freaking TV with moving chairs. Put that on there. That'd be beautiful. But we're going to start with 48 Hours, which is the kind of breakout movie for Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, it's going to be different for us because it's not a comedy, really. It's an action comedy.
With Nick Nolte.
Nick Nolte. Oh, come on. It's me, Nick Nolte.
Oh, God. I hate his voice.
But I think that's significant because he put that out while he was still an SNL cast member. And then he blew up and he was more famous than anyone on that show, like within a week.
Yeah. More famous than probably a lot of the hosts and stuff coming in.
Yeah. So I think we should start with that one. And then we'll probably move forward through to Beverly Hills Cop and something else.
Yeah.
But we'll be looking at Murphy's Floor. We'll be figuring out where he went right and where he found his flaws.
Mm-hmm. And because this is one that we did back in the past, I think we'll do it on and off with Eddie Murphy a little bit.
Yeah, there's also too many Eddie Murphy movies.
It's hard to choose.
Yeah.
But I think this is a good point to start. Maybe we'll do a couple in a row and then we'll find out if we should ever do a Dan Aykroyd themed podcast.
Yeah, we looked at it and we went, you know what? Who gives a fucking shit?
Not right away. Let's let's a little bit of time before we start doing Dan Aykroyd.
What are we
going to
do? Fucking Celtic Pride? Or freaking, like, Nothing But Trouble or some shit?
I think we will have to fucking talk about Nothing But Trouble, the movie where he's got, like, a dick nose.
It's on one of the streaming services right now.
Yuck. I don't want to watch Netflix. I don't want to watch it. It looks disgusting.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Cameron, before we close up, I want to say thank you to a few of our Patreon subscribers. If you like what we do here, you can get fucking more of it. We've got a Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/TotalReboot, which is our other podcast that we do, where we go through reboots, remakes, and ripoffs in cinema and discuss them with comparison to their original films. We are doing bonus episodes that are Patreon exclusives for just $5 buckaroonies. You can get access to our bonus episodes where we talk about where we pitch our own ideas for rebates, where we pitch our own ideas for reboots and remakes based on classic films. And we're also doing some audio commentaries there. We're going to be doing very soon some Mike Myers based audio commentaries. We'll be talking about Over, Austin Powers, Wayne's World, all the classics there. But I'm going to give a shout out to some of our supporters that are the Horny Baby supporters for $6.90, being that little premium price. So I'm going to give a shout out to Jonathan M. Love you, Jonathan, baby. Thank you so much. I'm going to give a shout out to Billy S.
What does the S stand for?
I won't say it because it's his surname.
I reckon it's sexy.
I'm going to say a beautiful thank you to one of our friends, A. Tullet.
Thank you, A. Tullet. You are a beautiful person.
I'm going to give one to Fraser BC. Thank you so much, Fraser. We love you, baby. Thank you so much. Fraser also, he gave me in person, like 20 Austin Powers Spy Who Shagged Me vintage postcards, like posters yes. from that they would put up in the cinema.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Fraser, thank you so much. Going to give one to Linus F.
Linus F, you dude.
Going to say one to Anthony H.
Preparation H.
Okay,
Austin Powers reference.
And one more. We're going to give a big thank you and a big kiss to Ash T.
Ash, I'm going to spill some tea. You're beautiful.
Guys, thank you for joining us. We'll see you very, very soon with a new episode all about Nick Nolte.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers.
And we're clear.
Wait a pod.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.